You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. And speaking of books, I have two of my own books coming out this spring and summer. Princess Charming is a picture book, which debuts on April 19th, and Bookends, a memoir of love, loss, and literature, comes out on July 1st, and it is truly a labor of love. I hope you'll pre-order, order, and join me on tour as I go across the country. You can find out more at zibbyowens.com or bookendsmemoir.com. And you can follow me on Instagram at zibbyowens because I always post about everything. Enjoy the show. Eliza Jane Brazier is the author of Good Rich People. She is an author, screenwriter, and journalist, and currently lives in California, where she is developing her books for television. Welcome, Eliza. Thanks for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Good Rich People.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you. I have to tell listeners that behind Eliza is a horse from a carousel on like the gold pole and everything, just like right there in the background as if it's a chair. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. It's the winner of the Zoom Background Award, I have to say.
Yeah, I still need chairs, but at least I have that.
Okay. Can you please tell everybody what is Good Rich People about?
Well, essentially it's about like this sort of bored rich couple who, to entertain themselves, they invite self-made success stories to live in their guest house. And then they sort of mess with them with the kind of eye to destroying their lives. So they're playing one such game when the sort of target of the game actually ends up being not who they think it is. Yeah. So it just kind of has these explosive consequences.
Oh my gosh. I have to read this one passage in the beginning about Graham. And this is after, you know, what is her name?
Lila.
Lila. Okay. Graham smells nothing like he looks. You would expect him to have a crisp, clean scent, newly minted cash soaked in lemon verbena. Instead, he smells like hot testosterone, like something feral, like the kind of man who would hack down the door with an axe to save kittens from a burning building. I don't know what to do with his smell. There is nothing more confusing than being sexually attracted to your husband.
So true.
That was one of my favorite lines. I just love that. There were a lot of good lines. So, oh yeah, Lila with a Y. That's right, of course. Too funny. You said Margot spends half her day walking Bean. Lila, Margot's plastic surgery isn't perfect. If you look closely, you can see her original face. I love that. All these little digs. Which one did I love on this page? Margot owns half the neighborhood. There are other houses on our street, but I don't think people live in them. On occasion, I will see someone rambling along the street looking startled, as if they're not sure how they got there, but I never see the same person twice. That is what Margot likes about the neighborhood, what she likes about Los Angeles in general. You will never find a city where people care less about what you get up to.
Also true.
Okay. So what made you think of this? Did you have like a guest room experience and you were like, oh, imagine if XYZ, like where did this come from?
Honestly, it is so much stuff that's like from my life. So I would say like the biggest thing is probably I lived below the poverty line for like a decade, actually in London. And during that time, so I was married to my late husband and he was a musician and he had all these friends who were like uber wealthy or like famous or whatever. So we were like below the poverty line, but we would go to these parties or he would like play shows at people's houses and they'd be these insanely wealthy people, like people who's like, you know, like names everyone would know. Right. And it was just like the whole contrast of that. And then we'd have, you know, sometimes they'd come to our house and it would be like their poverty experience, you know, and it's just like the whole contrast of like the extreme, I think, wealth and poverty that exists in the world is particularly in large cities. But then speaking to the guest house thing, when I wrote this book, I was living in the Hollywood Hills and I was living in a duplex and I was living underneath. So I was in this kind of creepy, dark little, like to me, it was the nicest, you know, it was the nicest place I ever lived. Like it was a one bedroom and I was like, oh, I've never had a one bedroom. But it was, you know, the one above was like clearly a lot nicer. And it was like this couple lived there and one was like a director, you know, and the other one was a writer. And it was just kind of like, so I kind of stole a little bit from all those things, you know?
As we do. So wait, go back though. What happened to your husband?
Well, he passed away probably about 7 years ago. So yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. No, thank you.
How long had you been married? Not that it matters, but.
Well, we were together for 7 years.
Oh.
We were married probably for 3, I think, but yeah. No, it
sucks. Set in or not set in?
I mean, it's like, you know, it's just weird. I think I'm really lucky. Like, so right before he died is when I sold my first books. I sold YA books. Mm-hmm. So in a way it was really fortunate because it's like, I had like money. So, because like I said, like we had like nothing, like we lived like in extreme poverty, honestly. But like he made it fun, but yeah. So in that way, it was like, that was fortunate. I have like a really great family. You know, I've been able to like make this whole writing thing work. You know, I bought a house this year. I have a horse, I have a dog, you know? So it's like, I've been super fortunate. And I think a lot of that comes from things that he taught me, you know? And, you know, even though obviously, you know, he's still a part of my life. So it's just crazy.
That is crazy. Yeah. Did you grow up below the poverty line as well? Like what?
No, my parents are, they're from LA. Like they're, I guess, like you'd say like middle class, like, but I have like, I mean, I had like 8 brothers and sisters, you know, I don't want to like, but you know, I mean, we definitely didn't have it like, you know, like a lot of the people around us, but the level that I lived at with my husband was much, let's say, I don't know what, lower on the money scale.
And were you working at the time or were you writing or were you?
Yeah, no, I did like various jobs. I also like had to always be trying to get a visa. So like I was in school for different parts. Like it was just like a lot of different things, but like bookkeeping. It's really weird. I mean, not to like, I guess, go too far into it, but I mean, it's like, I don't think people realize that when you're coming from like a certain level, how hard it is to actually get a good job. I mean, I applied like during that time to hundreds of jobs and I've never, you know, it's like, you can't even like wash your hair, you know, it's like, you're not, I think it's hard sometimes for people to understand how hard it is to get out of those kind of situations and how much stress you're dealing with all the time as well. Like all, you know, trying to figure out, I guess, like how, you know, where you're going to get money from. And there's a lot of stuff that happens to you that wouldn't happen to you if you had money that you're constantly dealing with. So you're like an undulated with a lot of trauma all the time. So, yeah, I mean, I did work. I was like a bookkeeper. I worked for real estate companies. I was a waitress. I worked at bars. I did all kinds of things, but it was never, I never had a good job in my life ever to this day. I mean, apart from writing.
Now you have the best job.
Yeah, now it's cool. I mean, I never would have thought at that time. I didn't have plans to even, you know, be a writer. I wasn't very like optimistic about my future, I would say. So yeah, I'm pretty
happy. What did you do to get through those times? Like, what did you read? Is that something like, what did you do?
I mean, this is the thing. It's like, we're talking about such a long period when you're talking about almost a decade. So there's a lot, I think, that you go through a lot of different things. And you know what else? Honestly, like, I don't think that I thought of myself necessarily that way. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I said, it was just kind of a thing of like, there's just so many like little things that you're so occupied with, like thinking about how much money do you have and how much does somebody owe you and how much did my husband borrow from this person? And how much did this person borrow from him? And like, oh, you know, just like a constant running tally. And then the things that break and then you don't have them anymore and you have to like figure out ways to do that. And then like, you know, there was a lot of issues with our place that we lived, just constant drama, you know? So I don't know. Like, I mean, I've always been like a reader as a kid, but I would say that during that time, I didn't really read that much.
Yeah, right.
To be honest.
Did you have any escapes from the stress?
I mean, you know, it's like my husband had great friends. We had a ton of people that were super helpful. My husband also, like, he would have people. I mean, this is like not necessarily an escape, but speaking to the point of the book,
yeah.
The character Michael, you know, who comes and lives with her is 100% based on, we had people living with us for most of our relationship, living on our sofa. And kind of like looking back now, I obviously am like, wow, these were sort of like grifters who sort of took advantage of us. But yeah, no, I mean, it's like, it's just a weird, it's so different world, you know, because I can't even imagine doing that. But my husband would have people come and live with us and be trying to help them with their lives. And I was like, but honey.
And yet your depiction in the book of like, you know, the wealthy woman in the supermarket just sort of picking up a housekeeper and all of that. So where does all that come from?
I mean, definitely like just, I guess I would say like observation. Yeah, I think I'm definitely like an observer of people. And I find people just so funny the way that they act. And I don't know. So I definitely think like just from people I've maybe interacted with or just almost like making fun of. I think people make such weird decisions. You just wonder why. So it's kind of like just trying to like imagine maybe what somebody's thinking might be.
So how did you then end up as a writer? What happened?
Well, so
go all the way back to like the strange people staying on your couch and not washing your hair and take me to this book.
I tried to wash my hair, but there's points when we didn't have hot water. So that was, and we only had a bath. So it was hard in London. Right. Anyway, but yeah, so I guess like about a year before my husband died, my sister-in-law is a very successful writer, Kirsten White. And she, like at that point, had already had like 6 or 7 books. And I was like, dude, like if she can do it, like maybe I can, like, I'm just going to kind of do what she did. And so what that was basically, and this was what, I guess like 7, 8 years ago, join Twitter, read every blog about how to write, how to approach agents. What do agents want? How do you get an editor? Like, how do you do all this stuff? And I got involved in like, you know, those contests and stuff. And so I did all that. And I just like really worked very diligently for like a year on a book. And then, you know, I had some agents who like read the book and said, we like the idea, we don't like the book. So I rewrote the entire book, sent it out. And then I started getting interest from agents. I actually had on that. So this is my YA book. And I had like 12 agents offer to represent me. Right.
Wow.
Chose one who honestly, like she's not my agent anymore, but she's like one of the best agents in the world. So she, at that time she was kind of starting out, but anyway, so she represented my book. She got like multiple editors interested in auction and all this kind of stuff. And like, you know, it was like such a huge thing. Like I remember like me and my husband, like waking up to getting that. Cause you know, it was in different time zone, getting the email that like from Disney Hyperion with the offer.
Oh my gosh.
Being like, it was more money in that contract than I would have made at my current job in my entire life. Do you know what I mean? Like it was just crazy. Like we're like jumping up and down on the bed. Just wild. So yeah, just, I mean, honestly, I think that the publishing world can feel super inaccessible. But then the internet, I think, is kind of like the great equalizer and really, really helps with that. And there's so many resources out there and people that can support you and all that kind of stuff. And if I think if you're really diligent about it and just like, you know, I'm very obsessive about things. So yeah, I just got really stuck in and like just kept working. It's up and down. I mean, I didn't get another book deal for probably 4 or 5 years after that, you know? So it's just never like, you're just like, oh, he's trying.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern. And the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin. And so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hey, grown-ups, the Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
So were there books you wrote that they rejected, or you just didn't, or proposals, or like what happened then? Sorry, yeah, taking you back.
No. It's just because it's like, it's such a, I don't know. I think I pack a lot into like short amounts of times. So, you know, I sold that book. My husband died literally. I got my first check and I was in LA and I got my first check from Disney. And literally the next day, my husband had this accident where he like lost the use of his arm and then he died probably like a month and a half after. So it was just a lot.
Oh my God.
So yes.
What was the accident? Can you talk about it?
I don't want to go to like, fell through a glass partition in our house.
Oh,
he severed like his arm. Like it was just like a lot.
Anyway. Oh God.
Yeah, crazy. Very, I mean, and also like, in so the this is like a, well, because now you maybe, but it's the weird thing, right? Because you know how there's people living on our sofas. So like there was some guy living on our sofa that, you know, made a tourniquet out of a belt, called 999, you know, like a bajillion ambulances showed up. They actually lifelighted him in a helicopter.
Oh my God.
Which was like not even far from us, but I guess that's like how they do it. And there was like an army surgeon. Like this is how amazing too the UK is, by the way, like the NHS. Oh my God. Yeah. But this like army surgeon like operated, you know, like while they were flying to, you know, to Paddington, like it was crazy.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. Amazing. But anyway, yeah. So he died. And then I still had another book in that contract. And I was just like, I was struggling. Like I was working so hard. Like I was trying so hard, but my brain was just like not working.
I bet. Yeah. I mean,
it's just like yes. That frustrating thing that I think a lot of people go through. It's like, you know, mm-hmm. depression, grief, whatever. And it was just like the hardest thing because I really was, you know, like working and writing and rewriting and trying. And it was like, I couldn't even think straight. So yeah, it took, I honestly, and I was sending, so after I finally got the second book through and then I was like sending other books to my agent, she was rejecting them over and over.
Oh no.
And I was just kind of realizing like, maybe like I'm like the kind of the problem. Maybe I need to just stop doing this. And then I just had like a couple different things where I felt like that was the message I was getting. So I like quit. Basically, I said to my agent, I don't want you to represent me anymore. Like I'm done kind of thing. I need, you know, whatever. I didn't think I would go back to it. And I moved back to America to work at a dude ranch because I used to ride horses when I was a kid. And I was just trying to find anything that mm-hmm. would kind of make me happy. And so I go to this dude ranch and it was like a nightmare. It was terrible. I was there for like 6 weeks. The people were totally crazy. We were in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, okay. So I had to leave. It literally got like dangerous. And I was like, well, I have to leave. So I left. But then 6 months later, like fast forward, I moved to Los Angeles, wanted to be a TV writer, had this idea that like the setting of that dude ranch would be a good setting for a novel or a story, right? And then I ended up writing it as a novel because I didn't know how to sell for TV. Yeah. So it all kind of like weirdly worked out, right? Cause like I quit, ended up at this ranch, and then the ranch turned into If I Disappear, which was the novel before this one. And then I, you know, sold that actually to like be involved in the TV show. And then now I have good rich people. And it's like, it's just weird. It's like this crazy journey, but like in a way, even the bad things have fed into good things, which I think like by force sometimes, cause I'll make that happen, but you know,
wow. I'm like super impressed. And
it's probably so confusing to people, but it's kind of crazy. Yeah.
No, you know, you're saying all this with like, you know, if people couldn't see you, right? Like pretend they were just hearing your words. They would imagine that you were, you know, very somber, like that things you're talking about are so serious. And you say it with like a laugh and this like joyousness, this like buoyancy to you. It's like sort of, it's great. I mean, it's wonderful.
What can you do?
What can you do? I know. You know, that is like a very real thing though. I've read up on grief a bit and, you know, this whole brain fog is a thing. Like you literally are compromised until,
so you know. Frustrating. Cause it was like, you know, you're under contract. They pushed my book back a year. I still feel like the book was terrible. I think they probably felt that way too. It just sucked. Like it sucks when you're sitting there and you're doing it and you're like, what? I can't, does this even make sense? Like what? Like what are sentences? Like what are words like floating on the page? You know what I mean? It's like, this is not fun. Yeah. But like I said, like, I've been like, you know, lucky. I think it's like, if you just keep going forward, and that's like the thing too. It's like, there's so many times in my life when it's like, you just think like, oh my gosh, is this going to be forever? Like, am I always going to be like this? Is this life always going to be this hard? And it's like, no, it won't. It might be harder. It might be easier. Sometimes it's going to be up and down, but it's not going to be the same. Right.
I mean, I guess that's like why we focus on the day at hand, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't know what's coming next. So you just, you know, focus on all you can do.
Careful, right? Because you can only control your perspective of things like for real, like 100%. That's it. Yeah. And even sometimes you can't control that. So be glad when you can.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So are you still writing? Like, are you enjoying writing?
I honestly enjoyed it a lot more. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was hard. Like when I wrote If I Disappear, it was like very tearful. I don't know why. It was just like torture.
You don't know. Well, I wonder why. It's such a mystery to me.
Well, and then I started writing Good Rich People, and it's like, hello, pandemic. I'm like, wow, that's another level. But when I wrote like the final draft of Good Rich People, so I like rewrote the entire book in like 5 weeks because I just didn't think it was working. And I enjoyed that. Like I was laughing, you know, it was hard. It's like, I was writing very quickly, but I think it was fun. And like the book I'm working on now, it's like, there's times when I'm like, this is so good. And then there's other times when I'm like, oh my God, a crazy person wrote this.
What is your book now?
It's basically about like mothers and daughters in like the horseback riding sort of world in Southern California. Cause like I grew up riding horses and like, I actually worked at like some super posh barns in like Orange County in LA when I sold If I Disappear, actually that's what I was doing. So I am very like fascinated by that. And I just wanted to write some cool kind of, you know, it's sort of like a woman's fiction kind of mystery vibe in that world.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
No, it's cool. It's, wow. I mean, it'll be cool eventually. Just, you know, give it some time.
My sister-in-law grew up working she rode a lot and then
a student
and then was a teacher for like all these, you know, she has some really funny stories. Let me just say that for
this theory. We probably have similar stories.
I should put you two in touch. You know, it's very funny the things that she'll say. Meanwhile, I was like, you know, taking my little riding lessons for one summer. And anyway, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
I guess like my advice is that I think, you know, I think that it's way harder than anyone realizes. So if you feel like it's really hard, you're doing something right. And I think just, it's like perseverance and like, you know, that's the biggest thing. It's not about like some, you know, being able to like stick with something and keep working on it, even when it's bad. I find for me, it's the hardest thing because I'll look at something and I'll compare it to other people and I'll be like, this is terrible. You know, like I should just stop. I should quit. Like I'll never be as good as everyone else, which maybe I won't, who cares, but like, but just like, you know, you can get, it gets better, you know, like you have to keep working on it. And that's like, I think just the hardest thing. But if you do, if you can do that, then you're golden, you'll be fine.
You know, it's so funny because I've been like putting some quotes that I love that I hear like on the podcast or in a book or something. And I've been like thinking about putting them on t-shirts or something and like doing like a little line of t-shirts with like unique quotes or something. So I was just thinking about what you said and you were saying, if it feels really hard, you're doing something right. And then I'm like, people could totally misinterpret what that quote is about. I'm like, I cannot put that on a t-shirt, actually.
That is like my subtle, subtext. Right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Okay. What I'm writing is really sexy.
Yeah.
Unintentionally.
Yeah. Back to your, you know, attractive husband scene that we talked about at the beginning. But
yes.
Oh my gosh. Well, Eliza, first of all, I'm really just, I know you talk about it in a way because you've had to find a way to just, I'm really sorry for your loss and all the stuff you went through. And I know sorry is such a pathetic thing to say, but I'm sorry you had to go through all that. And thank you for sharing it. And it's really inspiring how you've gotten through that. And I can see it, like your attitude is like so huge, right? It's so, look at this like laugh and smile and look at all the stuff. I mean, this is amazing, right? People with every resource at their fingertips couldn't write this book. So anyway, it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. That's very, very kind of you to say.
No problem. All right. Well, go enjoy your carousel horse and your actual horses and, you know, take a victory lap by the success of this one. So
thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's so nice to connect.
Have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, @WithZibbyAndTracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Enjoy the show.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.